Amen. God is, he's for you. Amen. So who can be against you? God is for you. Isn't that good to know that no matter where you are in life, God is always for you? I want to say welcome everyone here. Welcome online. It seems like it's been over 3 weeks since I preached. I think it has been. It has. But anyways, good to be back and good to see everyone. Good to be in the house of God. Hope you've all had a good summer so far. And, you know, we're just so thankful that you're here today with us. And we're just so thankful for the part that you play and you give to the house of God. And it's so good to know and to meet more new people. So keep on bringing your friends and your family. You know, the bigger the house, the better, I say. And God's house is not meant to be small. It's meant to be big. Amen. One big, large, happy family. Amen. Amen. Don't hear too many amens this morning. You're going to have to really encourage me as I preach this morning. You know, we're into a great series about the kingdom of God. You know, and you know, your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. Amen. Let's bow our heads. Let's commit this time to God. Father, we're so excited to be in your presence, to be in the presence of your incredible worship. We just, I'm so thankful we have worshiping people who will lead us into the presence of God and bring down this incredible worship presence of God, which makes it so much easier for me to preach, Lord. So I pray this word would penetrate our hearts, would go right deep past our minds, right to our very core of who we are. So we just hear the word, that we have the power to put it into practice. And it just brings fruit in life. Lord, it advances your kingdom. In Jesus' name we pray. Bless the word. Amen. Amen. So we're in a series, The Kingdom of God on Earth, Is It in Heaven? And my message today is entitled, Your Life Force. Say it with me. Your Life Force. What does it mean to have a life that has force, that has impact? What does it mean for a life to make a difference, that makes a mark for all eternity? What gives your life force, strength, power, energy, intensity? Well, let's start by looking at the most forceful life in all of history. And of course, that's Jesus. Now, few people would ever deny that Christ's life has had more consequential influence in all of history in terms of shaping people's thoughts, attitudes, actions, and future. But the question is, there are many things that made Jesus' life so powerful, the fact that he was the Son of God in human flesh, but really there's some other things that made his life so profound here on earth. The question is, what is that? What made his life so profound? So let's go right back to a scene in the Bible in Mark's Gospel chapter 10. And this is where Jesus revealed what made his life so radically different from anybody else. Now, you know, as we studied the Gospels, you read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, that Jesus spoke to thousands of people. And he met people in huge crowds. He met them one-on-one, and he ministered to people, and he did miracle after miracle after miracle. He drew all kinds of people to his side. But listen, even though he met all these people, in spite of all the people that he met, he only took 12 guys. He handpicked 12 men, and he began to mentor them and began to prepare them for the unleashing of his great revolution on this planet through the building of his church. Now, these 12 guys, they were in the inner circle. I mean, they were literally following the greatest leader ever, right? Ever was, ever will be. And so, guess what they started talking about? One day, as they were walking on the way to Capernaum, the place where Jesus was staying, they started whispering about who was going to be the greatest, who was the best, who was the biggest, who would be the most well-known, who would go the most farthest in life, who would be the most successful, you know, who would have the most life force. And so, how did Jesus respond to their bickering? Well, listen to Mark's gospel record. Mark 9, starts in Mark 9, 33-35. They came to Capernaum. when he was safe at home, he asked them, "What were you discussing on the road?" The silence was deafening. They had been arguing with one another over whom was the greatest. He sat down and summoned the 12. "So, you want first place? Then take last place. Be the servant of all." Now, in the very next chapter, the same issue rears its head again, and then Jesus told them plainly, Mark 10:43, "You are to lead by a different model. If you want to be the greatest, then live as one called to serve others. The path to promotion comes by having the heart of a bond servant who serves everyone." And then using one of his most favorite titles for himself, the Son of Man, it's a name that reflected both his divinity and humanity. Jesus said in verse 45, "For even the Son of Man did not come expecting to be served by everyone, but to serve everyone and to give his life as the ransom price for the salvation of many." There it is, right there. There it is on your PowerPoint. The key to the greatest, most forceful, most impactful life that has ever lived was servanthood. Being a slave to others. And guess what? God wants our lives to reflect a life of servanthood as well. Do you agree with that? God wants us to give our life away. On your PowerPoint, this is so true. Here's a great revelation. Are you ready to take it in? Here it is. Every Christian is called to what? Every Christian is called to serve. Next point. Every Christian has a ministry, a place where they serve people, where they represent God. Amen? You're a minister. Next point. And your call to salvation was also a call to service. Regardless of your job or career or whatever else fills your life, whatever your age, whatever your gender, whatever your background, whatever your ethnicity, whatever your perceived social status, you are called to be a servant. Amen? And you're called to be a full-time Christian who is available to be used by God is not optional. Amen? Not optional. Next point. You were saved. Come on, finish it with me. You were saved to what? To serve God in this fallen world. I could stop preaching right now. I've already made the point, but I'm going to keep going on. Here's the question. Do you believe that? Do you really believe that? Our model is Jesus. Jesus came from heaven to earth in the form of a servant. The most powerful God came to serve. Servanthood marked the life of the person who literally split history in half. Amen? And he did it. You know, Jesus' life still reverberates in every civilization, every culture today. And how did he do that? He did it by coming not to be served, but to be served and to give his life away. And I tell you, right there, that's what gave his life force. And that's the type of life we can experience. That's the kind of force that we can have in our life. Amen? Next point. Serving gives your life force. Being a servant enables us to make the biggest difference we could ever possibly make. And the very first place we're called to serve, according to what the Bible says and what Jesus says, where's the first place we're supposed to serve? Where is it? In the local church. You can go serve in all these different organizations. You can go to the Kinsman Club. You can serve even as a representative of Christ outside the church. But the first place you're called to serve is right here. Do you know that? You're called to serve right here. That's why you got to be a part of the church. But the question is, why is that? You know why? Because the church is the hope of the world. And our service to it means everything. It means everything to Jesus. And that's why we need to take our skills, our talents, and our ability and literally pour them into a community of faith so that the kingdom of God can advance and to expand. Amen? It doesn't expand with our cooperation. I want to tell you the story. This is a story about a church in Berlin. This is when during World War II. It was bombed, and they had a statue of Jesus, and the hands were broken off. Now, the workers intended to fix those hands until they decided, no, we're not going to do that, because they wanted the statue to remind them that Jesus, that Christ literally has no hands today except ours. And so they left that. See, wherever you find yourself, wherever you find yourself, you are his representative. You are his flesh and you are his bones. You represent Christ. And today he appoints us to speak and to live on his behalf. I say, you know what? What an honor. What an honor. What a responsibility and what a blessing. You know, Jesus has provided all the resources that we need to do what he did on this earth. Amen? But I know that following Jesus is a big responsibility. It's an honor, it's a blessing, but also at the same time, I know it's not easy. It's not easy following and serving the way that Jesus did, is it? I want to tell you a story. Here's a story. A woman accompanied her husband to the doctor's office. He started to get really sick. So she came with him to the doctor's office. Well, after his checkup, the doctor called his wife into his office alone, and he said, "Your husband is suffering from a very serious disease combined with some horrible stress. If you don't do the following, your husband will surely die. Each morning, fix him a healthy breakfast. Be pleasant and make sure he is in a good mood. For lunch, make him a nutritious meal. For dinner, prepare an especially nice meal for him. Don't burden him with chores, as he probably had a hard day. Don't discuss your problems with him. It will only make his stress worse. And most importantly, be romantic and satisfy his every whim." Are you listening, sweetie? "And if you can do this for the next 10 months to a year, I think your husband will regain his health completely." On the way home, the husband asked his wife, "What did the doctor say?" And she responded him, "He said you're going to die." Amen. Three things. I want to give you two, three things, okay? Two, and quickly, three things that we need to realize about serving. Three things. Are you ready? Number one, the call to servanthood requires that big S word. What is it? Say it with me. Sacrifice. How many can you agree that say, "I love sacrifice"? Evangelist D.L. Moody once said, "A great many people have a false idea about what the church is all about. They have the idea that church is a place to rest in, to get into a nice cushioned pew and contribute to the charities, listen to the minister, do the share to keep the church out of bankruptcy, and that is all they want. The idea of work for them, actual work in the church, never enters their mind." And we have a lot of people serving today. Maybe that's not reflective of our church, but you know, all of us can serve in some area. We can do more service, can't we? You know, today it enters our mind. Question, did Jesus ever say that your life would not involve sacrifice? Did he ever say that? Did he ever say that you wouldn't have to sacrifice money or time? Did he ever say that? Did he ever say that was easy? The serving was easy? No, he didn't say that. But what he was saying is that it would be worth it. It would be worth it. Everything that you do to help people on God's behalf is rewarded. Every single thing. There's not a thing that God misses. Do you know that? Here's what Jesus said. But anyone who sacrifices home, family, fields, whatever, because of me, whatever you do for me, will get it all back, read those words, 100 times over. Not to mention the considerable bonus of eternal life. Wow! What a promise. In other words, he's saying what will come about in your life as a result will be 100 times more than whatever you were doing before. You know? But here's the problem. But people don't believe it. They don't believe it, so they don't serve. And this is why so many people have no force in their life. Number two, serving like Jesus means being available. Now, we know that Jesus was not available. He could not to everyone. He could not meet every need, right? He was both God and man, but he was limited to a human body. I mean, he had limits on his amounts of energy, just like we do. But let me tell you that Jesus was willing to be interrupted and to be inconvenienced. In fact, you think about the miracles that Jesus did in the Bible. Almost all the miracles happened while he was being interrupted. Think about it. Think about the very first miracle. Jesus and his disciples were invited to a wedding, so they were going to sit back and just enjoy. But what happens? The host runs out of wine. So what did Jesus have to do? Turn the water into wine. Interrupt it. Think about maybe in John chapter 4. Right? Jesus is tired. He and his disciples are going to Samaria. They have a long journey. He sits down at the well. He just wants to rest. And then he's interrupted by the Samaritan woman. Starts talking to her. Well, he leads her to salvation. And then she invites the whole town. And the whole town gets saved. Interrupted. Think of another one. How about a centurion? How's a centurion? He has a servant that is sick. He's interrupted. Jesus, how about when he's interrupted by the woman with the issue of blood? And he's on his way because he's going to the house of the synagogue ruler to heal his daughter, but he's touched by this woman. He's interrupted. He heals her. He's interrupted. He was interrupted when he was speaking to a house packed full of people. People were inside, outside, and what happens? He's interrupted while he's speaking, and 4 men dig a hole through the roof and lower their paralytic friend down through the roof. He's interrupted. Remember that? He's interrupted by 2 men who are yelling out, you know, son of David, heal me. You know, they were blind. He's interrupted by 10 lepers, and on and on and on. How many miracles happened because he was inconvenienced and interrupted, but he was available? How many? So many. We can't even count them. How many more miracles would happen today through our lives if you and I were willing to be interrupted and inconvenienced? Amen? Isn't that true? COVID was terrible. It literally took the body of Christ out of commission. No longer serving, afraid to go out, you know, or maybe just, you know, rightly we shouldn't go out. But it literally stopped people from serving. That's, you know, God wants to just break that wide open again and just make the entire body of Christ's hands, feet, and just get out there and connect with people. Amen? You got to be available to be used by God. Number three, serving requires the attitude of Jesus. Philippians 2:5. Have the same mindset as Christ Jesus. He made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man. He humbled himself by becoming what? Obedient to death, even death on the cross. Right there we see in that last scripture, we see the 2 greatest marks necessary to be a servant, humility and obedience. And if you don't have those qualities, you'll never be a servant. You'll never be a servant of God. You know, at City Light Church here, we serve best on teams. We serve on best on teams, and we accomplish the most on teams. I like people to serve on teams. It's best, it's good for you to serve on teams because it helps you with your humility and your obedience. You got to be humble, you know, when you're a part of a team. You got to defer to others. You work as a team, amen? It's so important. You know, and I want to say this, if you're not a team player, if you're not a team person, you will accomplish very little or nothing in your life. You've got to be a team player. Amen? Not hearing too many amens. Okay, I've just given you 3 requirements. I'm going to finish by giving you three great benefits. Why should you serve? Here's why you should serve. Number one, there's great joy. There's joy in serving others. Do you believe that? There's joy in serving others. True joy involves other people. That's what joy is, an acronym, right? You heard that? I mean, we taught, there was a little storybook we used to tell our kids, J-O-Y, and you know, joy. Jesus, joy is about Jesus, our relationship with Jesus. It's about others, and then it's about you. Amen? Yeah. Joy is about serving others. Joy comes in serving others. I love this ancient Chinese proverb. You've heard it before. I'll tell you it again. Here's how it goes. Ancient Chinese proverb. If you want to be happy for an hour, ready? Take a nap. If you want to be happy for a day, go fishing. If you want to be happy for a month, get married. It's Chinese proverb, right? It's not Japanese. Sorry. We could joke about that, right? We got great marriages in this house. Okay. If you want to be happy for a year, inherit a fortune. If you want to be happy for a lifetime, help someone. Help somebody. Wow. Joy comes from serving others. Number two, here's the next greatest benefit. Self-esteem comes from service. Self-esteem comes from service. You know, you want to feel good about yourself, start serving other people. Self-esteem comes from service, not success or money or wealth. I read recently that, listen to this, serving other people in need actually activates a portion of your brain called the mesolimbic system, which generates feelings of reward and happiness and builds self-esteem. Wow. So in other words, if you want to feel better about yourself, go serve someone. Get on a team. Volunteer. Do something. Serve with others, right? So much of our self-esteem is wrapped up from our service. It comes when we serve other people. Amen? Here's the third one. This is a big one. Are you ready for this one? Ministry or servanthood has healing powers. Has healing powers. We are literally healed when we start helping other people. We can get healed. Example, during World War II, Second World War, during the bombing of London, it was found that so many people were suffering terribly from all kinds of mental disorders, from anxiety, nervous disorders, stress, fear, and they were literally, the population was just sick with fear and anxiety. But listen, but they found unexpected health. You know how they found that health? By helping others, forgetting their own troubles, and ministering to the terrible needs of the victims of those air raids. That's how they got over it. You see, the reason why I think that so many people have no energy, no vitality, no joy in their life, because they're always just thinking about themselves. Only living for themselves. You know, and that's what has happened for the last year or so. We've just been in a survival mode, right? God wants to break that. He wants to literally smash that and break that right apart in people's mentalities and attitudes. This is a great report. Dr. Carl Menninger, he's passed away, but he was known to be the leading U.S. psychiatrist. And he was once asked the question, if someone felt a nervous breakdown coming on, what would you suggest that he do? Listen to what he says. If you feel a nervous breakdown coming on, I would urge you to find somebody else with a problem, a serious one, and get involved with that individual. In helping him to solve his problem, then in reality, your own problem is going to disappear. You're no longer thinking internally. You are no longer letting things knot your stomach. You are no longer getting disturbed about yourself, because you're not thinking about yourself, you're thinking about others. Amen? That's so powerful. But listen, it only works if you get involved. It's just a good thought. Most people, let's admit it, most people do not follow Christ into a life of service. I'm not saying just serving once in a while. I'm talking about a lifestyle of being a servant like Christ. And there's a couple of reasons. Number one, for most people, this is a foreign concept. This is like a whole new, entirely different language. It's like a radically different culture. It's a whole new set of values. The world does not teach us how to serve. Amen? You know, and the reality is that most people don't want to serve, they want to be served. And their goals are opposite to Jesus' goals. But you know what that means? It also means that their lives are opposite to Jesus' lives in terms of influence, impact, and significance. Amen? Jesus said, yeah. Jesus said, I know. It's a whole new way of thinking. But it's not of this world, but it's of the kingdom, but it's of heaven. Amen? But there's another reason. One more reason why people don't follow Christ into a life of service. Number two, they don't see their lives and this world that the way that they should. I'll say that again. They don't see their lives and they don't see this world the way they should. They don't see the big picture. They don't see the real purpose of their lives. And they miss what matters most. Most people, this week have been horribly grieved, shocked over the reinvasion of the Taliban in Afghanistan. That event has happened way across that world, but I tell you, that event will impact our world today. This is more than just an event that just happened. This is a shocking event. It's literally set the world back in the areas of freedom. Do you know that? I believe it's a great darkness that's invading our world. And this darkness is going to invade our land right here in Canada. It's just a matter of time. What they did and the way they did it and how quickly and efficiently they did it was absolutely shocking to world leaders. And they're back on their heels. Do you not realize that it took a 20-year conflict to drive the Taliban out of Afghanistan. And it cost tens of thousands of lives. And it cost billions of dollars to do that warfare necessary to drive it out. And literally, Canada was sending troops and nations were sending troops into Afghanistan, it generated a lot of talk. And the question was, should we be in Afghanistan or not? But the responses of the widows, the fathers, the mothers, and the loved ones of those lost soldiers all gave the same response. You know what it was? They all believed that these men and women died serving a greater cause. Amen? These young men and women saw how their lives fit into a larger picture, into the conflict between good and evil, between right and wrong. And they realized that they played a key part in the survival of our freedom in this world. And because they saw the situation so clearly, they were more than willing to give their lives to it. Amen? Let me say this. You will never give yourself to something bigger than yourself if all you see is yourself. Amen? And you will never, ever live the life that Jesus' life lived unless you see what's going on in this world. Let's open up our eyes, saints. We are in a spiritual warfare. And it all battles down into a warfare for souls. Amen? It's all about the kingdom of God against the kingdom of darkness. And we win if we take up our authority and power and exercise it. Amen? And Jesus won the world. How did he do it? By serving people, loving people, healing people, ministering people, winning them to the Father. Amen? Those people who have his life force, they know what's going on in this world. You know, all the service that we do, you know, at City Light and every church, All Christian service is all about ministering to people and is about reaching the lost. You know, even when you serve in the AV team or in the ushers or greeters or in the kids ministry team, what are we doing? We're saving the greatest cause of ever, and that's the cause, that's the Great Commission. It's to preach the gospel. We're preaching the gospel. Everything that we do here is to facilitate the preaching of God's word, the release of the gospel, the ministry of the Holy Spirit to people. And it happens through the local church. It doesn't happen anywhere else, in any other organization, through any other people, except the church and you and I. Amen? It's so vital that we are all serving together as one. The church does not move forward without servants like Christ. Amen? The things we do in here in church can actually have greater impact. You know why? Because it has eternal impact in people's lives. We are trying to reach people for Christ. We are trying to empty hell and fill heaven. Amen? I'll finish with this last scripture. Hebrews 6, verse 10. For God, the faithful one, is not unfair. How can he forget the beautiful work you have done for him? He remembers the love you demonstrate as you continually what? Continually serve his beloved ones for the glory of his name. Wow. Heaven comes to earth. Heaven came to earth when Jesus came. But how does heaven keep going forward? How does the kingdom of heaven expand? Through you and I. We are the vessels. We are the vessels. We are the vessels through whom he works, through whom he releases from heaven to earth his presence, his power, and his provision. It comes through us. You are so important to God. You have such a big role to play. It's time to become a real servant. Amen? Conclusion, we all want to live a life that makes a difference. We all want our lives to be significant. But listen, there's only one way that's going to happen. He did not come to be served, but he came to serve and to give his life away. So the question is, what will you do with your life? What are we going to do with the limited amount of time we have left? What are we going to do with our life? You know, as a pastor, and I think all pastors are the same, we want to see every single Christian serving somewhere, somehow, right? Because the cause is just too great. The cause is too great. And the day is just too dark. And the time is just too short to have people just sitting on the sidelines. Amen? Time to get involved, saints. Get involved. Serve. Give. We have a dirge. All the churches, all the pastors I talk to, they're desperate for people to just get up and start serving. You know, I mean, yeah, just get up and serve. Every single Christian is called to serve. Amen? Every single one of us has a ministry. Every one of us has gifts, talents, and abilities that he wants to use for his glory, for reaching people. Amen? So get on the welcome team. Get on a greeting team. Get on a serving team. Get on an ushering team. Get on a kids ministry team. You know, serve someone. Get on a coffee bar team. Get anywhere. Just serve. Just serve. Amen? Because you know why you should serve? Because serving is your what? It's your life force. Do you agree with that? If you agree with that, shout amen. 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 Bow your heads. Thank you, Father. I want to speak to someone here. You may be here today. And maybe you know about Jesus. Maybe you've gone to church. You might know about religion, but you don't have a real, authentic relationship with Jesus Christ. And you don't have the Holy Spirit residing in you. And you don't have the mysterious presence of God functioning and flowing in your life. And if you're missing that, then you're missing eternity. You're missing heaven. And you're missing the gift that Christ died on the cross and shed his blood for you to have. It's called the gift of eternal life. Everyone is a sinner. All men have sinned, right? But the gift of God is eternal life. Eternal life to every sinner. Amen. Today is a day of salvation. Now is a day of salvation. Salvation is the greatest gift you could ever receive. How do you receive it? Just by asking Christ. Just by asking for forgiveness of your sins and then receiving Christ into your heart. Jesus is the one that said, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. There's no other way. And if that's you and you need Jesus in your life today, Will you repeat this simple? But I tell you, it's not just a simple. It's the most powerful prayer you will ever pray in your life. Bow your heads and pray this prayer after me. Dear Jesus, I acknowledge that I'm a sinner. I believe that you died and you shed your blood on the cross to pay for my sins. Today, Lord, I repent. I turn from my sins and I receive you into my heart. I invite you to be Lord and Savior of my life. In Jesus' name I ask. Amen and amen.